When Alden Taylor was 17 years old, something happened to him, something that literally changed his life. Alden, what was it?
Well, you know, it's one of those stories, George, that presses a person's credibility, and one that I really had difficulty sharing with anybody for a number of years. But then you get to a point where you just realize that, you know, you're either, you tell it how it is or you hide, you know, yourself. Yeah. So here it is, you know. The irony of it is I had an automobile and I was going down State Street in Salt Lake City one evening, and a fellow ran into the back of me. And he was a young kid, and he didn't have insurance, but his father said, hey, you know, I'll pay for it. So maybe it's a week later, and I'm going to go to a dance, and I've got a car from a dealer that I'm thinking that I'm going to buy. And so I'm in this Oldsmobile with my girlfriend, and I'm headed out to collect the money for the first rear-end job. And I come into this little community. It's called Woods Cross, and it's really a railroad town. And there's a whole set of the railroad tracks, and I mean by set, maybe 8 or 10.
Going all over the place.
Switching lanes, yeah. And I'm playing around as I come in, you know. I'm pretending that we're running out of gas because this is a little podunk town, and it is dark, dark, dark outside. And it's an old two-lane road. And so, you know, I'm in this Oldsmobile, and I 57 Oldsmobile, and I push on the gas and let off, and push on the gas and let off, kind of giving the gal that I'm with the idea we're running out of gas. I'm gonna wind her up. And as I do this, I come up on the railroad tracks, and the car stalls, dies. It's flooded the engine.
Ugh.
Okay, now I'm sitting on the railroad tracks, and almost like this is a Hollywood production, the signal arms start coming down, and the bells start ringing, and the lights start flashing.
Ugh.
Okay? Now, Connie, that was the woman's name, Connie Bennett, Connie says to me, you know, should we get out of the car? And she's got her hand on my leg all this time. And I say, you know, no, because the image that comes to my mind when she says that is we'll start out of the car, you know, something will happen, the car get hit, it'll get drug over the top of us. No, you know, I'll get the car started, we'll get off the railroad track. So, you know, I've got the pedal to the metal, you know, and not a Ford, I guess that would work, but I subsequently learned that it didn't work on Oldsmobiles. And I'm trying to turn the engine over, the train hits us. Now, it turns out that this train had over 100 cars with it, and it was traveling over 100 miles an hour.
I was going to say, it must have been flying for you to misjudge how far away it was.
I never saw it. It just simply wasn't even there. There was no train at all. It was pitch black.
You didn't even see the headlight from it?
No, nothing. It was pitch black, you know, and then, like I say, like a Hollywood movie, a nightmare. All right, now, it hits the driver's side of the car. Connie is in the automobile, and they're cutting her out. The driver's side of the car has been caught by the cattle guard, the unit that's out on the front of the train.
Jaws of life are cutting her out.
And I'm standing in a field.
What do you mean you're standing in a field? Your astral body?
No, me.
Were you dead?
My physical body.
Your physical body.
All of me.
You're standing in a field.
I am standing.
How'd you get over there?
You know, I can't tell you, George. To this day, I cannot tell you. I have no clue. It is not possible. Connie will swear to you. She had her hand on my leg. She's telling the medics and the people that are trying to cut her out, you know, is he okay? Is he all right? Where is he? You know, she thinks that I'm in the car,
crushed,
pinned, way down underneath the crushed side.
Yeah.
Okay? She's all worried. So, you know, bottom line is I was in the car when the car was struck by the train, period. But I find myself standing in the field, in this field alongside the railroad tracks, and I'm maybe 100, 150 yards from the car.
That's a long way.
That's quite a long way.
You obviously wandered away.
I don't know what happened, but I can tell you this. At the same time, time has passed because I'm standing in that field and all the emergency vehicles are there, and there are a bunch of them, and the emergency crews are cutting her out of the car. There's law enforcement, ambulances, et cetera. So now I come running up, and everybody wants to know who I am, what I'm trying to do, get up there to find out if Connie's okay.
Right. The least, last thing they want is another person walking into the scene, right?
Well, and I'm the driver, okay? So they...
But they didn't know that.
No, but I tell them that. So they let me in. So now I end up in the ambulance and go to the hospital with Connie. Now, here's the long short of this story. I can't tell you, one, what happened. But just...
You don't remember it.
Don't remember? I personally don't think there's anything for me to remember. I personally believe something picked me up out of that car and set me down in that field. And somehow, whatever that was, it did that. It did it not just by blocking me out, but did it in some way messing with time. In order for all these vehicles to get there, at least a half an hour had to pass. Okay. Now,
it's truly remarkable.
Connie's parents sued the railroad, obviously. She was in traction for a long time, suffered whiplash. And I was untouched, George, completely untouched.
And it hit on your side.
Hit my side of the car, and Connie is squeezing my leg when it hit. Okay?
Man.
Now, I had to give testimony in the court of law of what happened. I had to tell him what happened. I told him what I am telling you is what happened. Connie's family won, a judgment. The railroad, obviously, the train was traveling too fast, and there was negligence, et cetera, and so forth.
Yeah.
I told this entire story, and the only comment anyone, judge, attorney, for either side, anyone had to say to me was my mother. And my mother said to me when, some of the dust had cooled, she says, "You changed. I wonder if you're a walk-in." Now, at the time, I didn't even know what a walk-in was. I'd never even heard this term,
Yeah.
So that's been one of those events that has stuck with me my entire life. It has been a shaping event because, I've had those other experiences where I think, like a lot of people do, we become scientists and we divorce ourselves from a spiritual life, and in the process of devouring information, we forget about maybe why we're here, or what's important about life, and I have been that route as well. I tell that story as well in the book, but through it all, I've had to say to myself, okay, well now what happened? And what does that mean? And it keeps bringing me back to a realization that, whatever took place, and call it a miracle if you want, whatever took place isn't explainable. We can't fit it into our scientific paradigm. Somebody may well argue that, well, someday we'll be able to do that. Maybe you did some kind of time travel, or you did some kind of, space-time shift or something, but I think that's pressing it a little bit.